me your eyes for just one second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Hi, welcome to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link Foster Care and Adoption Agency. And I sure hope that you had an incredible day, although it is not over yet. You know, I have some very exciting news, and that is just with one of our case managers, and we have quite a few, just one of our case managers told me yesterday about seven children that she is a case manager for at Family Link going into adoptive placement. You know, I remember back when these children came, and it was an emergency, and they were frightened and they were scared. They were oftentimes dirty. You know, they had no idea that they even had value in the world. Most of the time they had been moved around, almost like a chess player, moved here, moved there. And yet now they've been in this loving family. Now they begin to realize that, what? Life can be different. I don't have to wonder who's going to feed me, wonder who's going to hurt me, wonder where I'm going to sleep tonight, wish I had my mom, wish I had a dad. But see, now that they're in a Family Link family, they know where they're going to sleep at night. They know they're going to be fed. They know that they're going to be loved. They're finding out, the older ones are finding out about the joy of learning and even being in school, the joy of really knowing who they are, that they are not a mistake, that they are not trash, that they're not meant to grow up drug addicts and involved in very unsavory things in our society, but that they're actually meant to do great things. And that is the beginning of a brand new life for children, when they have their eyes and their hearts open to a different way of life, first of all, but then when they have their eyes and their heart opened to seeing themselves differently, to starting to find out that they're actually full of purpose, full of value, full of life, and that life cannot just be safe, but that life can truly be fun, and they can get excited about their future. And so when I think about these children now, as they came to us scared, emergency, all these children, the seven that I'm thinking of, came as emergency placements. As I think of them, then I begin to think of where they're going, and to know that they will be in not just safety, but in love the rest of their life. And that makes me so happy. We don't have to worry about them. We don't have to worry that they're going to be so hurt and just stay in this cycle of abuse and neglect. And so that's one of the reasons I'm also very excited about Legacy Ranch. You know, when we were thinking of naming it years ago, we were thinking of one, a name that would not be embarrassing for children. Like, who wants to tell your friends at school or friends that you meet that you live in a children's home or a youth ranch or other names that kind of make you sound different and less than? But I thought of Legacy Ranch. First of all, the legacy is because we're taking that legacy of abuse, neglect, of a life that many don't even feel are worth living. We're taking that legacy and giving them that hope and that love and that destiny to let them know that the sky is the limit, that God has incredible plans and purposes for them, and to really find out who they are, who are their gifts, what are their gifts, what are their talents, who has God created them to be, and just really loving them and helping them achieve their full potential. So I wanted our children to have a new legacy. And the ranch part, that just makes sense, doesn't it? I also think it's a wonderful childhood to grow up out of the city. Not that you want to be too far from stores and things like that, but to grow up safe and where you can explore and fish in the river. And those are things that we want for our children. So we're so excited about Legacy Ranch. We're just about to open it so soon. So we invite you to read our website, familylinkkids.com. Read the Vision Legacy Ranch on there. And I know you too will have a heart for those children who are in the process of being separated, that we can pull together and create a family for them, for the elderly that may be lost, may be lonely, may not be done living out their purpose, that want to come and minister to our children, and for those pregnant teenagers who have chosen to give life and yet may be turned out of their home, maybe on the streets, we want to also give them and their unborn child the safety and the love that they deserve. So that's one of our big announcements. We're opening Legacy Ranch so soon, and we're interested to see what your part will be. Maybe you're going to be a donor, a volunteer, a prayer supporter. So I can't wait to hear from you. I'm also very excited to introduce our guest today. We have Judith D'Amico with Abba's Child Learning Center. And Judith, all of our children, I would say biological and fostered and adopted children could really benefit as their parents are listening today. So I'm so excited about you being with us. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I'm really excited to be able to have a chance to talk with you this morning.
So, you know, I will have to admit that even though I have known that this is an area that I specifically wanted to learn about because I knew it would benefit our family-linked children, I haven't been able to really take the time to study, and because I've been busy with emergencies, placing this child and that child and doing this and that. So, but you know what I thought? The great news is that while I haven't been able to take the time, you and others have. So we're just going to learn from you and partner with you. I think that would be a much better way to do it. And so share with us some of the history of Abba's Child.
Well, about 11 years ago, I started tutoring some children at a private Christian school. And I could see that they were bright kids, but they were just really having a hard time with reading skills and math skills. And I would notice that with some children, I would work with them on something on one day, and by the next day it would be forgotten. Or by the weekend, they'd come back on Monday, and the material was gone. And so there were some memory issues going on. And then I saw that there were some children that I would talk to, and I'd realize they really were not taking in what I was saying, that they weren't processing it. And for other children, they would be trying to read, and they would have trouble, they'd complain of headaches or feeling nauseous when they were trying to read or keep looking away. And over a period of time, I realized that even though children can be extremely intelligent, they can have processing problems, which interferes with their ability to be successful learning math skills, learning reading skills, and in life in general. And the other thing I also realized, too, is that many of the children that I began to see were children who also were dealing with emotional problems as well, which became an interest for me because I had had four foster children many years ago and realized that foster children, orphans, are children where there's been a lot of emotional turmoil and that affects the way the brain processes.
So a lot of people, it's very hard to understand that relationship. So, for example, you might have a foster mother who says, I just don't know what to do. I mean, the teacher is saying that Tommy isn't listening in class. He's not paying attention. And, I mean, he just needs to listen and pay attention because I want him to learn.
Right, right. And many of these children get labeled as either having ADD or ADHD or being lazy or being rebellious. And, in fact, most of the time they're doing the best that they can, and what they find is even when they do try to pay attention that they're not understanding what's going on, especially if there's an auditory processing problem. And so when that happens, a lot of these children over time become behavior problems because they're sitting in a class not getting it, and they find other ways to keep themselves busy.
And so tell us how that would affect brain development. So let's start with maybe abuse and neglect. How would that affect brain development? What are common ways it could?
Okay, the way I think of it is that God designed us to not be functioning in an environment of tremendous stress, and we take in our environment through our eyes, through our ears, through our senses. And when a baby or a child is dealing with a lot of stress and more than they're capable of handling, they tend to shut down. And again, this was something I learned over time. I didn't realize it when I first started working with these kids.
And so what about a family who's listening and they're saying, well, I mean, I'm not a foster parent, but I do have a child that is having trouble learning, and frankly, I think that they may have ADHD, but I don't know if I want to put them on medication. But my child sometimes just can't focus, but they're not abused or neglected. What are some reasons that that might happen?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. If you look at, there's not a blood test that you can take for ADD or ADHD. It's primarily behaviors that you look at. And when you look at the behaviors for auditory processing problems or visual processing problems or even dyslexia, you find that a lot of the same behaviors are going on. And what frequently happens is that children are not being tested for auditory or visual processing problems. And so the behaviors are looked at. The parent is told this is ADD or ADHD, and I think medication would be a good idea. And what we strongly, strongly recommend to parents is that if you have a child who has behaviors that look like ADD or ADHD, make sure that they get assessed for visual and auditory processing problems. Also, sometimes food allergies can create all kinds of behavior problems that look like ADD and ADHD.
Give us an example, because I know, you know, the term auditory processing, some families may have heard of it, but they really don't know what that is. Let's start off with what it might look like, because then some people may go, oh, that sounds familiar. I didn't even know. But then what it really means. So what would a child who may have some auditory processing challenges, what would that look like? What would they be doing?
Okay, let me give you a typical scenario. It's not the only way that this can happen. But let's say you have a baby, and your baby gets lots and lots of ear infections. And so you're doing constant rounds of antibiotics. And maybe, I mean, we sometimes see children who've had tubes in their ears once, twice, up to four times. And when that child is in the period where they're supposed to be learning our language, their ears are blocked. So essentially they're going through a period of almost like partial deafness during that time.
Mm.
And it's the window of time when they are learning the sounds of our language. And so one of the first signs, and not all children have this, but a lot of children with auditory problems have speech problems. And we look at the speech problem and we think we need to work on the speech. But in fact, what's going on is that the ear and the brain are not processing sound correctly, because at the time the child should have learned the sounds, they were dealing with ear infections. So that might be one thing that a parent was seeing. Another is that when the child starts to learn to read in kindergarten, first and second grade, the child has a really, really hard time learning the sounds of our language and how to pronounce them and how to put them together. And so sometimes people think, oh, that's dyslexia. But in fact, it really goes back to the fact that the child is dealing with an unresolved auditory problem. There are just so many different things that could happen. A lot of children with auditory processing problems are not able to block out the sounds that are around them. So, for example, they're in a classroom and somebody's sharpening a pencil and the fan may be whirring overhead and the teacher is talking and somebody behind them is saying something, and the child can't focus on one thing. And so they're just being bombarded by sound. And for some kids, they just try and shut off altogether. Other kids get very disruptive and may even start telling people to shut up. They're disturbing them, and they find themselves in the principal's office.
Now, what if a family is thinking, well, I don't think any of my children have had ear infections? First, I want to say sometimes they do go undiagnosed.
Right.
But what would be some other reasons that one might, a child might, or maybe we don't even know the reasons, but what are some other ways it might show up in a daily household, maybe not even in school?
Well, at home, it tends to be things parents will say, you know, I talk to this child and they just don't seem to get it. Or if I'm in one room and they're in the other room and I'm talking to them, I might as well not be talking. Mm-hmm. Or I tell my child to do three things and I'm lucky if they remember even one of them. They're completely disorganized, they go off to school in the morning, and they are missing half the things they need to be bringing with them. Because if you have an auditory processing problem, it also can affect your ability to organize yourself.
You know, I was thinking recently, because this has been on my mind recently, so which is why I'm so glad you're here, but Have you guys ever had somebody talking to you and you honestly didn't hear them because you were in your own world?
Sure.
And I know most of our mothers, like, you know that there's, you don't even mean to ignore your child. It's just that they're going, Mom, Mom, Mom. And maybe you're reading a book. Maybe you're focused on something completely different. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden you kind of come out of, and then you're like, oh, yeah. I did that the other day to my 16-year-old son. He's like, oh my gosh, I'm right here talking to you. And I said, well, one, I'm doing something else. I was actually working on the computer, and so I didn't even, like, didn't go into my brain. It took me a few minutes, and I thought, maybe you're talking to somebody else. He's like, I'm right by you. I'm like, well, okay, what? And yeah. Then I thought to myself, though, what if that was a child? And then sometimes as a parent, you'd think, you go straight to, they're being rebellious. They're being disobedient. Of course she heard me. I'm right here. So I know that she is just choosing to tune me out. She has good ears. And I know I've even thought that before with some of my children. They can hear you, like, when they're, you know, in a totally different room, if it's time for ice cream or something. And then you can hear them. I always have thought, if I can hear them playing, then I feel like they should be able to hear me talking to them, like, from the other room. But I realized when I went through that with my son again, I thought, what if that's what it's like for some of these children? Like, they're sometimes either in their own world and they really are not hearing it right then. And so the parents or the teachers are thinking that they are being disrespectful, rude, ignoring them. Or sometimes it just takes a little longer for their brain to catch it, to process it, because I know that's happened with some of the foster children too. Like, you say something and then they'll say, what? And you think, I know you heard me. And then a minute later, like maybe even 15 seconds later, it's like it processed through, and then they go, oh yeah. Can you explain how that might be, what I have personally experienced? Now, I have to say, I don't have auditory processing challenges, but I think that might be kind of a good example for us to help understand what these children are going through.
Well, you've raised a couple of different issues. One is that we do have the ability, and especially if we do have good auditory processing skills, to be able to focus on one thing and to block other things out. That's actually one of the signs of a good auditory system. And so, you know, I think part of our problem as parents is that when the child is focusing on the television or the computer or their game that they're playing and not paying attention to us, it feels like, you know, the child is rebelling, when in fact they're exercising their focusing skills. But if the part that you talked about when you said a child, when you speak to them, it seems like it's taking a long time to process what you're saying. If the child is paying attention to you, that could be an auditory processing problem that should be checked out. And the third thing is that the more trauma someone has had in their life, the more they may tend to go off into the past and be reliving experiences and trying to make sense of experiences that they've had and are not really present. And so as a foster parent, you may need to, you know, tap the child on the shoulder or get down and be eye-to-eye contact with them and then say what you're needing to say, because your child literally may be 100 miles away.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about visual processing? How is that different? I mean, I think we understand what visual versus auditory means, but what does that look like? What would that seem? What behaviors would you see in a child?
Okay. Let me just say one quick thing before I get into that. A child can have, you could test an 8-year-old child today and find that their hearing is fine, and that's what gets tested in school or might get tested in the doctor's office. Mm-hmm. But the child may not be processing sound correctly. So even though they have ears that are now working, when their ears needed to be working in the past, they weren't. And the child's brain and ear did not learn how to process sound correctly. And so that process is still showing up in the present. And the same thing is true with vision. A child can have perfect vision, 20/20 vision, but their eyes may not be working together properly, and the brain and the eye may not be working together correctly. And so, for example, a child who's having a lot of difficulty learning to read might be dealing with some kind of a visual processing problem. Some children will complain of getting headaches when they try to read, or even feeling sick to their stomach, or they might be extremely light sensitive. They may start out reading for a few minutes and they're doing okay, and then all of a sudden they are losing their place a lot. They are not understanding what they're reading. They're looking away a lot. And what may be happening is that the page is not in focus correctly. When I first started learning about this, it was very, very strange to me, because kids after a while started talking to me that the letters are moving on the page. And in fact, that is what some of them are seeing. The letters can be vibrating or shaking or looking like they're swirling. And again, it's the eye and the brain not in sync with each other that's producing that.
Wow. So what, besides reading, is there anything else that you might notice maybe at home?
Well,
visual processing?
Some of the children who have visual processing problems, it will show up in their lack of depth perception. And they, for example, going on an escalator might be really, really difficult for them and might be quite scary. Or this is the child that you throw a ball to and they just stand there because they don't have a way of being able to see where that ball is going, what its trajectory is, and where it's going to land.
Oh, that's interesting.
So that might be another thing. Or you might have a child that loves being read to, and so you realize it's not books that they don't like, it's the reading process that is very difficult for them.
Now, what about a child who's clumsy and seems to fall a lot? Would that be a different challenge?
It could be a visual processing problem. It could be a sensory integration problem. Our balance and coordination is tied up with our inner ear. And so a lot of times children who have auditory processing problems are also quite clumsy and are bumping into walls or bumping into other people or breaking things a lot.
And people get frustrated with that, and they might say, watch where you're going. Listen,
you
need to have boundaries, you know, if they break something. And so that's one of the things I just really want people to get from our time together is an understanding, but also a patience and a special grace. Because there really isn't a child that wants to not be able to read that or have challenges reading, that wants to be in trouble at school, that wants to bump into people and to break things and make everybody unhappy. And this is not something a child would choose. And so it's something that we need to know more and to truly be able to help them. And I was reading some of the testimonials on your website, abbaschild.com, and my heart began to stir and I got more and more excited, because once you really understand this and also take action to bring healing, then lives can completely change, not just the child, but also the whole family who surrounds the child.
Absolutely. Well, you know, when a child has a learning problem, everybody in the family in one way or another gets impacted by it. I mean, it impacts marriages where husbands and wives are arguing over what the best thing is to do. It impacts siblings who feel like the child with the problem is getting more attention than everybody else. It impacts the parents' relationship with the school. The school is blaming the parents are blaming the school. It's a mess. And, you know, one of the things that I really wanted to say today is that as I look at how many times many foster children get moved around, a lot of times I believe it's because there are undiagnosed learning problems that are creating havoc in the family's life, in the child's life, in the school life, and the parents don't know what to do. They're at their wits' end. Discipline does not work. And they just kind of give up. And the child's behavior gets, you know, more and more out of whack.
Yes. Let's talk about that when we come back from a break. I'm so excited about possible changes. You guys are welcome to go to abbaschild.com and read about some of the testimonials. And go to familylinkkids.com, and we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link, and I'm here with Judith D'Amico from Abba's Child Learning Center, and we were just talking about some things that really many people are just now learning about and others have no idea about. And so far we've talked about auditory processing problems, visual processing problems, and how that sometimes might end up looking like ADD and ADHD. And I feel like in our society, first of all, many children would be labeled that, and sometimes it's just children that oftentimes it's in school. They have a hard time sitting still for a long period of time and focusing. But I have to say, I honestly don't believe that God really created us to learn in the manner that many public schools are teaching. And so I think that a lot of times children, we weren't really meant to sit for what it ends up being hours at a time. And it's not a very enjoyable experience. And I think that oftentimes the drugs are meant to create children who, in a sense, are a little bit less children, a little bit less spirited, a little bit less life, full of life. And then it's much easier to teach, at least have somebody sit still, someone who has a bit of a zombie in them. And I've seen some children on medication that just, it felt like the light was just turned down in their eyes and in their heart. And that's really sad, not to mention all of the abuse of medication in the world, but oftentimes in foster care and adoption as well. And then those are serious chemicals. Those are drugs in our children's bodies that can have serious immediate side effects, but possibly very dangerous long-term effects. So Judith, will you share with us a story of a child that you have been able to work with that was on medication, maybe for ADHD or any other kind of psychotropic medication, and that you have seen a complete turnaround and change in being able to go off of medication?
Sure. There was a little boy that was in about fourth grade and had never learned to read and was a tremendous behavior problem in school. He literally was being sent to the principal's office several times a week. I think he was probably spending as much time in the principal's office as he was in his classroom. Mm. And he would usually last in the classroom till about 10, 11 o'clock in the morning, and then he would end up getting into a fight with somebody or screaming at people to be quiet. And his parents had him on medication for ADHD, and he still was not able to really function in school, still was not reading. And in desperation, they brought him to see us. And when we did an assessment with him, we realized he had both auditory processing problems and visual processing problems and was extremely bright and extremely creative. And so we spent a period of about 4 months working with him, dealing with both the visual processing issues and the auditory processing issues. And at the end of the summer, he went back to school. And we didn't hear anything about him for, several months. And I ran into his grandmother and asked, how's he doing? And she laughed and she said, well, he's only been in the principal's office once this year. And I thought, well, boy, that's better than, several times a week. And she said, and the reason he was in the principal's office was his teacher sent him down there because he'd made the honor roll, and she wanted him to be congratulated by the principal.
Oh, my gosh.
And it was just such a turnaround. And we've seen so many children, be able to come out of special ed classes, be able to come off of medication, watch their relationships with their parents, with their siblings, with their teachers change. I mean, you really see a total shift in what a child's life is going to look like. One of the things that really, really concerns me when I first started doing this work, I realized the huge ties between illiteracy and kids who end up in prison and kids who end up on welfare and people who end up as unwed mothers. I mean, they're just all of these issues are very, very much connected with learning problems and the inability to perform in school.
Wow. And so, I don't know, somebody listening might think, how is this possible? Share with us a few of the things. Let's start with visual processing. What are some things, and let's pick a name, maybe we could call him Nathan, assuming that's not his real name.
So, not his real name.
Okay, good. Let's start with the visual processing. And I know what you did for 4 months we can't cover, but at least let's give people an idea. So for visual processing, what were some things you did with Nathan?
Well, the first thing we did was an assessment to find out how his eyes were functioning. And there are people, not people who do ordinary vision therapy, but there are special pediatric ophthalmologists who can test for vision problems. We also test for something called Erlen syndrome or scotopic sensitivity, where the letters are moving around a lot, and colored overlays or colored glasses can actually correct that problem. When I first heard about this, I thought it just sounded as hokey as anything I'd ever heard about. But I was seeing kids who had really severe visual problems, and I ended up going for the training and then coming back and working with the principal at our school, who turned out he'd been dealing with this his entire life and
wow.
had all kinds of migraine headaches, which were able to be corrected with colored overlays.
And so somebody listening might think, when you think of visual problems, they think, my child doesn't wear glasses, or if they do, you know, it's just like a normal glasses. I don't
right.
think this applies. And so will you explain the difference?
Well, again, a child can be tested, have their vision tested, and they can have 20/20 vision, which means each eye is operating independently and can see properly. But the eyes can have trouble functioning together. And so, for example, a child may be getting a double image, or the letters, again, may be moving on the page, or they may be getting headaches when they really try and focus their eyes correctly. And so it's really important that if a pediatrician or the school says, yes, this child has 20/20 vision, and they're fine, and you still feel like there's a visual problem going on, that they either be seen by a pediatric ophthalmologist or that they get screened for what's called Erlen syndrome or scotopic sensitivity. And they can read about that, you know, by either going to our website at abischild.com or going to Erlen.com, IRLEN.
And so did he fall in that category?
Yes, he did. And he was able to get special, actually colored lenses in glasses that helped him enormously. And he learned to read, and he's doing fine.
So, can you actually see the color on the lens?
You can see the color on the lens, but when you look at the world through those lenses, the world looks the way it does without a colored overlay.
So, that's interesting. All right, and so then what about for auditory processing? What did y'all do with Nathan?
We had him go through a program called Integrated Listening System, where he was doing both sensory integration exercises for balance and coordination, and also retraining how his ear was processing sound, because he was a child who had had rounds of ear infections and tubes in his ears. And although it hadn't affected his speech that much, he was not able to identify sounds correctly. And the other thing that was happening is when you have an ear infection, because you're not taking in sound correctly in your ears, we also are able to take in sounds, and this also sounds wild, but through the bones in our body. I don't know if you've heard that before.
Mm-mm.
Okay. And so we bring sound into our bodies both through our ears and through our bones. With our ears, we're able to block out things that we don't want to pay attention to. With our bones, we're not able to do that. And so if a child starts relying on bones to bring sound into their body and language into their body, they can't shut off various kinds of stimulation that are going on as well. And so these are the kids who get overwhelmed in a situation where there's a lot happening, because they can't block sound out. So when you do the auditory processing program, it actually retrains the ears so that the ears are the primary conductors of sound rather than the bones in the body.
Wow, now that is really interesting. When we come back, tell us how that was even figured out. That's pretty amazing. And we want to hear more about Nathan, as well as some other children that have been incredibly helped. And actually, lives changed. And I just can't wait for many of our foster children to get help in this area. So if you are listening and know, I think I'd like I'd like to test my children, whether they're foster, biological, stepchildren, doesn't matter. It's just children that you feel like may need some extra help. Then I invite you to go to abbaschild.com. I actually saw that there are some, I don't know if you, do you call them tests? I'm not looking at it right now. But some forms that you can fill out to help evaluate.
There are screenings that are very, very helpful to evaluate whether these are issues that your child is dealing with. And we really invite people to call us because we're working with people at a distance at this point. There are not many facilities that do the kind of work that we do.
Yes.
And so, you know, if you go online and you look at these screenings and feel like this is something you want to learn more about or get help with, please, please give us a call.
Oh, that is so awesome. So go to abbaschild.com. Go to familylinkkids.com. Make sure you read the vision for Legacy Ranch and sew into it. We're looking for families and people who actually want to live there, to live a life of mission, to love these children, help them heal. And I tell you what, we will be doing these programs there. I am so excited about that. In fact, Judith, I was thinking once the children are there, we can invite all of our Family Link families across from Texas, as well as the families that are living there. And we'd so love to have you come out and do a workshop and spend time with our children. And that's something we would love to plan, maybe even, you know, this coming summer or spring. That would be phenomenal. But we will be right back. This is Life Matters.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link Foster Care and Adoption Agency. And I'm here with Judith D'Amico, founder of Abba's Child Learning Center. And Judith, I just makes my heart so happy to think of children that we may be struggling with. And really, it's more about these poor little children who are struggling. And hope is really just around the corner. And so we're talking about Nathan. And Nathan, you said, was a child who went to the... How old was he when he came to you?
He was in either third or fourth grade.
Okay, so let's say probably maybe around nine.
Uh-huh.
So there he was, nine, going to the principal's office several times a week, probably one of the biggest behavior problems in the class, parents frustrated, but loving this child, so wanting to help him. But all the parenting books that they've read, giving consequences, giving encouragement, those things were not changing the core problem.
Right.
The fact that Nathan wanted to be like others was not able to essentially heal the physical challenges that he was having. But people didn't even know that there were some actual physical challenges. Most of the time we think if they would just listen, if they would just care more about the consequence than doing this, what they're doing that's getting them in trouble, then they would quit getting in trouble. I mean, it just seems
right.
Like if people would just do what they're supposed to do and kids would just listen and obey, everything would be okay.
Yeah.
But we're talking about children that is not at that point even an option. They're dealing with some serious challenges. And so for the auditory issues, you said that he did have tubes in his ears when he was a child, and his parents didn't even realize that he was having some auditory processing problems. What did y'all do for that?
We had him go through the Integrated Listening Systems program. And in this program, he is wearing headphones that are conducting sound both in his ears and through bones in his body. Excuse me. And what he's doing is listening to sound that is helping to retrain how his brain is processing low sounds, medium sounds, and high sounds, which he didn't learn when he was younger. And once he was able to do that, things that had been impossible for him became easy. And he was able to learn to read when people were talking to him. He was able to understand what they were saying. When he was in a room and there was a lot going on, he was able to stay focused on his teacher and not be distracted by everything else that was happening.
Wow, that must have just been amazing for him.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you talk about what can happen with children if this kind of intervention that doesn't happen. What are some things that you're seeing even in our society that if other children like Nathan don't get help, what are some of those consequences?
Well, you know, I mean, this is a hard one, but recently I was speaking to a group of ex-prisoners, and we were talking about some of the things that we do, and virtually every one of the men who was there said, oh, I had learning problems when I was a child.
Oh, gosh.
And the statistics are just really appalling. I think it's something like 70 to 80% of people who are in prison today have learning issues.
And you might think, but somebody could still be happy. Somebody could still have character if they're having learning issues. But I think that it also comes from how people are responding to them. And so how they're treated and then what they believe about themselves.
Absolutely.
And so share with us what are sometimes how parents respond to children who have some of these challenges that even though it seems like they're responding normally, what they consider to be, I'm responding a normal way, I'm not really mean, but it's not working and it's actually hurting the child.
Well, you know, it can be very frustrating to have a child with learning problems because they look normal. You know, they're not deaf, they're not blind, and so they should be able to respond normally. And you take the child to an eye doctor, or you take the child to the pediatrician, and the pediatrician says there's nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. And so it doesn't leave a whole lot except the child doesn't care or the child is rebellious or the child's not paying attention. And when you draw those conclusions, you tend to discipline in ways that you think are appropriate to what you're seeing, but in fact are not really dealing with what's going on. And the child gets more and more frustrated, and so does the parent.
So what could a child, what would be going maybe through a child's mind and heart when they're given consequences, whether it's time out, whether it's not being able to go somewhere they want to go, consequences for behavior at home or in school, and yet maybe the choice that they made, they were feeling overwhelmed or they didn't really understand it. I guess let's go back to that. Why would a child, what it looks like is just not being, quote, obedient. Can you kind of share a scenario with what we think would be happening, but then what would really be happening within their body and within their brain?
Well, you know, I would say almost to a child, the children that I see here, the way they feel about themselves is, one, that they're bad, and two, that they're dumb. And the older and the longer this kind of thing goes on without being corrected, the more they begin to act that out.
So give us a scenario that you maybe have seen or heard. It's a typical scenario where it seems like the parent, you know, was giving an appropriate correction, but what would really have been happening within that child's brain and heart as to why they didn't do what they were supposed to do?
For the child, one is often they don't understand why they're being, you know, punished or disciplined or sent to their room. And they also find that as hard as they try, it doesn't help. And so, you know, some kids keep trying and trying and trying and trying. Others, after a while trying and not being successful, give up. And they tend to take the blame on themselves and feel like there's something really wrong with me. There's a lot of shame that that goes on. The other thing that I find is it really depends what age the child is, because When I'm able to work with a child who's, you know, 5, 6, 7 years old, that child still has not made, they're struggling, but they still haven't made the decision maybe that they're bad or that they're dumb. But by the time a child gets to be about 5th grade or 6th grade and they have struggled and tried and given up, there is usually so much anger going on as well. And that's when you get into more and more acting out kind of behavior. You get into kids wanting to use drugs to stop the pain, kids dropping out of school as they get older. But they end up feeling like there's something really wrong with them and that they're not going to be able to accomplish much in their lives.
So you're saying really as they grow older, they begin to lose hope and they begin
Actually,
the seeds that are planted in them maybe even things that teachers might say, parents, other kids, those seeds at a certain point begin to take root, and so now they believe. And essentially they're believing a lie, and they're believing that they are not valuable, that they are not smart, that they don't have an important place in life, that they that they're never going to make it. They just can't do it, that they're never going to please. And as you say, I've seen it with children. Some will continue to try, but then others just give up. I will never be able to please my parents, so I might as well just quit trying. It is too painful to try and to always come up short. So I'd rather just lock my heart and just try to get by the day and get by being in this family. And so that might paint kind of a bleak picture for some of you, but some of you might be going, yes, I think I can relate to that. I think that might be happening to my child. So when we come back, we're going to tell you about another child that had complete change. So you pick out a girl that's really touched your heart, Judith, since we've been talking about a young boy, although it could have been a girl. Share with us another girl who may have had different challenges, and let's see how working with you and Abba's child really changed everything. So we want to continue. We want to build hope back into the families that while the children may be giving up, the parents might be feeling the same way. We want you to know there's so much hope. Go to abbaschild.com. Read some of those testimonials. If that doesn't give you hope, I don't know what will. And because it will give you hope. It's given me great hope, and I'm excited about helping our children even more than we have already. And so you're listening to Life Matters. Also, check us out at familylinkkids.com. Donate online. Oh, we have so many more children we're working to help, and your part makes a difference. Friend me on Facebook for updates. Every day I like to tell you who's going to be on this show, what children we're working on, and what's also happening with Legacy Ranch. So friend me on Facebook, Mariah Wilde, Family Link, and we'll be right back.
Give me your eyes for just 1 second. Give me your eyes so I can see everything that I keep missing. Give me your love for humanity. Give me your arms for the brokenhearted, the ones that are far beyond my reach. Give me your heart for the ones forgotten. Give me your eyes so I can see.
Welcome back to Life Matters. This is your host, Mariah Wilde, founder of Family Link, and I'm here with Judith D'Amico with Abba's Child Learning Center. And Judith, our time has gone so fast. We just have a couple of minutes left, so I sure hope we can do a series with you because there's so much more for us to visit about. So just tell us real quick, though, about a young lady that you've had the opportunity to work with.
Okay. There was a teenager. I think she was probably about a junior in high school, and had been dealing with auditory processing issues her whole life without her family realizing it. At the point that we met her, she was on antidepressants. She had no friends. She was in school, but her parents were thinking of pulling her out because when there were group processes going on in school, kids working on a project together, she was not able to follow what was going on, and so she would completely withdraw and be teased by the other kids and accused of not doing her work. She wasn't able to go out into, common teenage places like a mall. She would end up with just severe migraine headaches because of not being able to block sound out. Mm. And she went through the auditory processing program. She was able to get off the antidepressants. She began developing relationships with her peers, was in school and functioning properly, and at the end sent us a note saying, I feel like I have my colors back. I feel like life is colorful again. It's become black and gray.
Wow. That must have probably just about made you cry. And that's another thing I love about Abba's Child. It's not a job. It's truly a ministry that you are. It sounds kind of corny, but you really are changing children's lives and teenagers and their entire families. I mean, that's amazing.
You know, we feel like these children were created for a purpose and to help to build God's kingdom, and that their lives have been ripped away from them. And in the process of helping to change the learning problems that are there, we also really talk to the children about, you know, what are the giftings? What are the special ways that God has made you? What is your contribution to make to the world? And it changes everything.
And I love the fact, especially since many of our listeners are in Texas, I love the fact that you do have a distance learning program, which even if you were in a similar city to some of our families that are listening, it's still hard. So many appointments, and then you have one, you know, a baby, plus the child you're trying to take, plus several other children in school. And so the fact that our families can actually do this from home under your guidance,
yes,
is incredible. And I am honestly very excited about working with you, with our families and our children. And so if you go to abbaschild.com, you can do the screen testing. You can do it on, fill out the form for your biological children. And you know what? Here's the thing. It doesn't mean that there's something inherently wrong with your child. It's just that there's some challenges, something that you couldn't help the ear infections. And sometimes you don't even know what the reason why is. Of course, with foster children, we have a strong idea why. We'll get to talk about that more next time. But if it's your biological child and you might be feeling a little guilty going, but I ate organic food, but I did everything that I knew to do to help this child come into this world in a safe way and healthy way. And I'm still doing everything I can. And yet I do see some of the things that you're talking about as being a challenge. We just want you to know there's nothing to be guilty over. There's just so much in this world we don't have control over. All the electromagnetic field, there's just a bunch of things going on in this world. But all we can do is say, it doesn't matter. This is my child. I love my child. In fact, I love my child so much, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to help them to be healthy and to be whole and to be happy. And so I'm just so excited to add this very important tool into my own personal family and into Family Link. And we're just so excited about this time with you, Judah. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. And if there are ways that I could help at Legacy Ranch, I would just be delighted to do that.
Oh, there's definitely ways, and I cannot wait to share with you more about that. So thank you guys for being with us. Go to abbaschild.com. Go to familylinkkids.com. We'd love to hear from you. Make sure you do read our vision for Legacy Ranch and sew into it, because it is opening soon, and we need your help. God bless you, and we'll be back with you tomorrow night.